The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Minister for Social Protection Heather Humphreys states Budget 2025 has a wide range of measures to aid pensioners, including that €12 increase in the state pension. But there's more to pensions for many people than just the state pension. Carl Widger is Managing Director of Metis Ireland, an establishment that offers financial planning and investment services, and he's with me now. Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks
so
for having me back.
So what have they done in terms of the private pension?
Well, I suppose in terms of the private pension, the main big news that came, and it actually came pre-budget, it didn't come in the budget, was the increase in the SFT, the standard fund threshold. So currently that's at 2 million. And
now, just to explain what that is.
So that's the maximum amount of pension fund you can have before you go into what we call chargeable excess tax.
How do they work that out? Because if, for example, a pension fund contains equities, equities go up and down. If it contains property, well, property inevitably goes up. Yeah. So you might be below the 2 million when you bought the small shop, for example.
Yeah.
But now it's...
So it's calculated, Pat, on the day that you draw down your pension. Okay.
Ah.
So you know, the day you when you draw down your pension, basically what you do is you take part of it as a lump sum and then the balance goes into a post-retirement pension. It can be called an ARF or it can be called a PRSA. Complex stuff, I know, right? But... One of the difficulties that we're having was civil servant pensions were being valued well beyond the 2 million. So they were finding it difficult to recruit, you know, at the top level of the civil service.
And, you know, we had in the Garda Síochána the situation where jobs were being advertised and nobody appeared to want them.
Correct. Correct and right. And I suppose so what they've done is they're increasing this SFT gradually over the next few years. From 2026 to 2029, it's going to go up by 200,000 a year. And it will end up in 2029 at 2.8 million.
So are they looking after themselves? Because included in that cohort will be the politicians themselves.
Yeah, perhaps. However, it is to be welcomed and it is good news for the business owners, for entrepreneurs and say senior execs in the multinationals, because a lot of time they will have pension funds at around this level. So it is to be welcomed for sure. One thing, though, Pat, that they didn't increase along with the fund threshold was the amount of lump sum that you can take from the pension. So up till now, it used to be 25% of your fund. The first 200,000 is tax-free and the next 300,000 is at the standard rate of tax.
Yeah.
That's now being capped at those levels. So from a business point of view, from an entrepreneur's point of view, from trying to encourage, you know, people to business owners to be successful within Ireland, we would have loved to have seen that the lump sum would have increased in line with the standard fund threshold.
Yeah, because the lump sum, as a percentage, it used to, that's how it worked.
It used to be 25%.
But now it's capped, no matter
now
what.
Now it's capped at the 500, exactly.
Now, capital acquisitions taxed in terms of gifts and inheritance, what do they do there?
Yeah, so basically the limits that you were allowed gift to your kids, are there's other thresholds as well, was 335,000, and they've now basically said that you can gift up to 400,000 to your kids before you actually have to pay any inheritance tax, which is 33%.
Now, the problem in many cases, the gift is the house.
Correct.
And therefore you have to sell the house to pay the tax.
And I think this was a big problem. Like, it's to be, again, a little bit like the pension changes with regard to the standard fund threshold. This is to be welcomed. However, if you look back, this is not even keeping up with inflation. And I think and I hope that this is the first of a series of measures that would, you know, increase these limits to help people, you know, who've passed on, are trying to pass on houses, and then the kids aren't ending up having to sell the house to pay a capital acquisitions tax bill. And that's what was happening. The other thing I'd point out there is that there is a small gift exemption, which it's 3,000 you're allowed past anybody basically each year.
Yeah.
And they haven't increased that. And I would have liked to have seen that happen, because one of the things that we are arguing for is to, can we create some kind of savings habit here? And that might help. It's a long term play, but it might help our younger generation get on that property ladder, which is proving very, very difficult, as you know.
Now, there's another category where you are giving money to grandchildren or indeed to your own siblings. That's gone up from 32,500 to 40,000. And then there's this give a gift to anybody.
Yeah.
So you can tell a stranger, you can walk up to someone and give them now up to 20,000 tax free.
Yeah, you can. Honestly, I don't think there's very much of that happening, Pat. I think the second category, though, that category B that you mentioned, grandparents to grandchildren, I think that can help because we need to try and distribute this money to the younger generation to give them a help. You know, after all, this was called the cost of living budget, and, you know, it's trying to distribute the wealth as evenly as we can to those that need it. So this is very, very welcome, I think.
Now, what about the state pension increase by 12 euro a week?
Yeah, this is a peculiar one, Pat, because there's lots of studies done to say that as we're an ageing population, we're not going to be able to afford the state pension.
So we keep jacking it up.
Yeah, somebody somewhere, i.e. some government at some stage along the line, is going to have to take the very austere measure of saying pension increases are no longer.
But isn't it more likely, and they should probably have already done that, to say it won't be given at 66, it'll now be 70 or 72, because that would sort out the calculation.
Correct, and they're also introducing auto-enrolment, which has a couple of false starts already, but they've now said that it is going to start in September next year. So in auto-enrolment, basically everybody is entitled through their employment to be part of a pension scheme. So that hopefully will help widen that pension net and maybe allow us to reduce or to at least stop these increases in the state pension.
Now, what are PRSAs?
So PRSAs are they're just a type of pension. And basically, a couple of years ago, it was introduced that you could pay in, an employer can pay in for an employee any amount they want in a particular year to a PRSA.
Any amount?
Any amount. Obviously, you're limited by these standard fund thresholds that we spoke about.
But if you wanted to recruit someone, you could say, I'll dump 100 grand into your PRSA.
Yes. Now, there are some restrictions around that because you can't have, it can't be part of your contract and all of that kind of stuff. So these have to be once-off measures. But yes, hypothetically, you could do that. There's a big anomaly here, though. This is for people who are employed, so the employer can do it for the employee. And yet we have self-employed people who are still limited by their salary. The maximum salary they can use is 115,000, and then it's age-related, so there's a percentage you can put in per your age. So these people are restricted in what they can put in, and yet PRSAs for a company scenario, you know, you can put in whatever you want. Now, the devil might be in the detail. Maybe they will change this in the finance bill, which is coming next week. I don't think it will, but I do think it is on the agenda. And let's hope that self-employed people just have the same rules to play with as say, company directors and that kind of stuff.
Now, tax on investment funds, there's a 41% exit tax, and that's unchanged.
Yeah, and Pat, this is one that we've been, a lot of people have been lobbying for. So if you just do a normal investment through an investment fund, which in my view is probably the best way to do it in almost all cases, well, the tax on that is exit tax at 41%. Now, Pat, that's taken whether you exit or not after 8 years, whereas capital gains tax is 33%. So we'd like to see the exit tax come down towards the 33%. We'd love to see, can we generate some kind of a savings habit here that people are investing for the long term? In my view, again, this would be another measure if we could do this. Go back maybe and do something like the SSIA, or in Britain they have the ISA, where the government will top up your savings amount. If we could introduce something like that, maybe this is a long-term play and a way of getting our younger generation on that property ladder
again. Now, they're big into entrepreneurs and startups and all. Do they do anything for them?
Yeah, there's a number of measures in the budget aimed at startups. Now, I would, which is to be welcomed again, and, you know, there is a lot of forward-thinking measures in this budget. But what I'd like to see is, can we, yes, try and encourage the startups, but could we look after the business owners, the entrepreneurs that are here already, or when those startups become successful businesses, how can we encourage them to make sure that they stay here? So one thing that we'd like to have seen was the, you know, an increase in the entrepreneur relief. I just think that we know that this corporation tax bonanza that we have from the multinationals, we've had the Apple tax hit as well. I think everyone is saying that it's not going to be sustainable at these levels. So therefore, how can we become self-sufficient in Ireland, create indigenous businesses that are, you know, are going to set up, be successful and stay in Ireland? And I think that that's something, that's a measure. They're the kind of measures that I would like to see going forward.
This question, how much can I pass on to my long-term partner with whom I have children, but we're not married?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. So I think, you know, you really do need to go and see an estate planning solicitor on that. You find situations whereby they are limited in terms of what they can pass between them, and they're not entitled to pass between spouses. There's no tax at all. So it's a difficult one. Get
all
advice.
All right, Carl, thank you very much for joining us. That's Carl Widger, Managing Director of Metis.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.